Today is the third day of July. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It is wonderful to be here with you today as we do what we do. Come in around the global campfire, gather together, leave all of the things that, that are gathered around us, all of the anxieties and obligations and stresses. We set them down outside the circle. We come in here into this safe place where we're really here to do nothing but to let God's word speak for itself and to our lives as we take another step forward. Very, very grateful to be able to do that together with you today. Let's jump in. 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 3. Through 23, verse 30. After Josiah had been king for 18 years, he told Shaphan, one of his highest officials, "Go to the Lord's temple and ask Hilkiah the high priest to collect from the guards all the money that the people have donated. Tell Hilkiah to give it to the men supervising the repairs to the temple. They can use some of the money to pay the workers, and with the rest of it, they can buy wood and stone for the repair work. They are honest, so we won't ask them to keep track of the money." While Shaphan was at the temple, Hilkiah handed him a book and said, "Look what I found here in the temple, the book of God's law." Shaphan read it, then went back to Josiah and reported, "Your officials collected the money in the temple and gave it to the men supervising the repairs. But there's something else, Your Majesty. The priest Hilkiah gave me this book." Then Shaphan read it out loud. When Josiah heard what was in the book of God's law, he tore his clothes in sorrow. At once he called together Hilkiah, Shaphan, Ahikam, son of Shaphan, Achbor, son of Micaiah, and his own servant Asaiah. He said, "The Lord must be furious with me and everyone else in Judah, because our ancestors did not obey the laws written in this book. Go find out what the Lord wants us to do." The five men left at once and went to talk with Huldah the prophet. Her husband was Shallum, who was in charge of the king's clothes. Huldah lived in the northern part of Jerusalem, and when they met in her home, she said, "You were sent here by King Josiah, and this is what the Lord God of Israel says to him. Josiah, I am the Lord, and I will see to it that this country and everyone living in it will be destroyed. It will happen just as this book says. The people of Judah have rejected me. They have offered sacrifices to foreign gods and have worshipped their own idols. I cannot stand it any longer. I am furious. Josiah, listen to what I am going to do. I noticed how sad you were when you read that this country and its people would be completely wiped out. You even tore your clothes in sorrow, and I heard you cry. So I will let you die in peace before I destroy this place." The men left and took Huldah's answer back to Josiah. King Josiah called together the older leaders of Judah and Jerusalem. Then he went to the Lord's temple together with the people of Judah and Jerusalem, the priests and the prophets. Finally, when everybody was there, he read aloud the book of God's law that had been found in the temple. After Josiah had finished reading, he stood by one of the columns. He asked the people to promise in the Lord's name to faithfully obey the Lord and to follow his commands. The people agreed to do everything written in the book. Josiah told Hilkiah the priest, the assistant priests, and the guards at the temple door to go into the temple and bring out the things used to worship Baal, Asherah, and the stars. Josiah had these things burned in Kidron Valley, just outside Jerusalem, and he had the ashes carried away to the town of Bethel. Josiah also got rid of the pagan priests at the local shrines in Judah and around Jerusalem. These were the men that the kings of Judah had appointed to offer sacrifices to Baal and to the sun, moon, and stars. Josiah had the sacred pole for Asherah brought out of the temple and taken to Kidron Valley, where it was burned. He then had its ashes ground into dust and scattered over the public cemetery there. He had the buildings torn down where the male prostitutes lived next to the temple, and where the women wove sacred robes for the idol of Asherah. In almost every town in Judah, priests had been offering sacrifices to the Lord at local shrines. Josiah brought these priests to Jerusalem and had their shrines made unfit for worship. Every shrine from Geba, just north of Jerusalem, to Beersheba in the south. He even tore down the shrine at Beersheba that was just to the left of Joshua Gate, which was named after the highest official of the city. Those local priests could not serve at the Lord's altar in Jerusalem, but they were allowed to eat sacred bread, just like the priests from Jerusalem. Josiah sent some men to Hinnom Valley, just outside Jerusalem, with orders to make the altar there unfit for worship. That way, people could no longer use it for sacrificing their children to the god Molech. He also got rid of the horses that the kings of Judah used in their ceremonies to worship the sun, and he destroyed the chariots along with them. The horses had been kept near the entrance to the Lord's temple, in a courtyard close to where an official named Nathan Melech lived. Some of the kings of Judah, especially Manasseh, had built altars in the two courts of the temple and in the room that Ahaz had built on the palace roof. Josiah had these altars torn down and smashed to pieces, and he had the pieces thrown into Kidron Valley just outside Jerusalem. After that, he closed down the shrines that Solomon had built east of Jerusalem and south of Spoil Hill to honor Astarte, the disgusting goddess of Sidon, Chemosh, the disgusting god of Moab, and Milcom, the disgusting god of Ammon. He tore down the stone images of foreign gods and cut down the sacred pole used in the worship of Asherah. Then he had the whole area covered with human bones. But Josiah was not finished yet. At Bethel, he destroyed the shrine and the altar that Jeroboam, son of Nebat, had built, that had caused the Israelites to sin. Josiah had the shrine and the Asherah pole burned and ground into dust. As he looked around, he saw graves on the hillside. He had the bones in them dug up and burned on the altar so that it could no longer be used. This happened just as God's prophet had said, when Jeroboam was standing at the altar celebrating a festival. Then Josiah saw the grave of the prophet who had said this would happen, and he asked, "Whose grave is that?" Some people who lived nearby answered, "It belongs to the prophet from Judah, who told what would happen to this altar." Josiah replied, "Then leave it alone. Don't dig up his bones." So they did not disturb his bones or the bones of the old prophet from Israel, who had also been buried there. Some of the Israelite kings had made the Lord angry by building pagan shrines all over Israel. So Josiah sent troops to destroy these shrines, just as he had done to the one in Bethel. He killed the priests who served at them and burned their bones on the altars. After all that, Josiah went back to Jerusalem. Josiah told the people of Judah, "Celebrate Passover in honor of the Lord your God, just as it says in the book of God's law." This festival had not been celebrated in this way since the time that tribal leaders ruled Israel, or the kings ruled Israel and Judah. But in Josiah's 18th year as king of Judah, everyone came to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover. Josiah got rid of every disgusting person and thing in Judah and Jerusalem, including magicians, fortune tellers, and idols. He did his best to obey every law written in the book that the priest Hilkiah found in the Lord's temple. No other king before or after Josiah tried as hard as he did to obey the law of Moses. But the Lord was still furious with the people of Judah, because Manasseh had done so many things to make him angry. The Lord said, "I will desert the people of Judah, just as I deserted the people of Israel. I will reject Jerusalem, even though I chose it to be mine, and I will abandon this temple built to honor me." Everything else Josiah did while he was king is written in the history of the kings of Judah. During Josiah's rule, King Necho of Egypt led his army north to the Euphrates River to help the king of Assyria. Josiah led his troops north to fight Necho, but when they met in battle at Megiddo, Josiah was killed. A few of Josiah's servants put his body in a chariot and took it back to Jerusalem, where they buried it in his own tomb. Then the people of Judah found his son, Jehoahaz, and poured olive oil on his head to show that he was their new king. Acts 21:37-22:16. When Paul was about to be taken into the fortress, he asked the commander, "Can I say something to you?" "How do you know Greek?" the commander asked. "Aren't you that Egyptian who started a riot not long ago and led 4,000 terrorists into the desert?" "No," Paul replied. "I am a Jew from Tarsus, an important city in Cilicia. Please let me speak to the crowd." The commander told him he could speak, so Paul stood on the steps and motioned to the people. When they were quiet, he spoke to them in Aramaic. "My friends and leaders of our nation, listen as I explain what happened." When the crowd heard Paul speak to them in Aramaic, they became even quieter. Then Paul said, "I am a Jew born in the city of Tarsus in Cilicia, but I grew up here in Jerusalem, where I was a student of Gamaliel and was taught to follow every single law of our ancestors. In fact, I was just as eager to obey God as any of you are today. I made trouble for everyone who followed the Lord's way, and I even had some of them killed. I had others arrested and put in jail. I didn't care if they were men or women. The high priest and all the council members can tell you this is true. They even gave me letters to the Jewish leaders in Damascus so that I could arrest people there and bring them to Jerusalem to be punished. One day, about noon, I was getting close to Damascus when a bright light from heaven suddenly flashed around me. I fell to the ground and heard a voice asking, 'Saul, Saul, why are you so cruel to me?' 'Who are you?' I answered. The Lord replied, 'I am Jesus from Nazareth. I am the one you are so cruel to.' Those who were traveling with me saw the light but did not hear the voice. I asked the Lord, 'What do you want me to do?' Then he told me, 'Get up and go to Damascus. When you get there, you will be told what to do.' The light had been so bright that I couldn't see, and the others had to lead me by the hand to Damascus. In that city, there was a man named Ananias, who faithfully obeyed the law of Moses and was well liked by all the Jewish people living there. He came to me and said, 'Saul, my friend, you can now see again.' At once I could see. Then Ananias told me, 'The God that our ancestors worshipped has chosen you to know what he wants done. He has chosen you to see the one who obeys God and to hear his voice. You must tell everyone what you have seen and heard. What are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash away your sins by praying to the Lord. Psalm 1, Book 1, The Way to Happiness. God blesses those people who refuse evil advice and won't follow sinners or join in sneering at God. Instead, they find happiness in the teaching of the Lord, and they think about it day and night. They are like trees growing beside a stream, trees that produce fruit in season and always have leaves. Those people succeed in everything they do. That isn't true of those who are evil. They are like straw blown by the wind. Sinners won't have an excuse on the day of judgment, and they won't have a place with the people of God. The Lord protects everyone who follows him, but the wicked follow a road that leads to ruin. Proverbs 18, 11 and 12. The rich think their money is a wall of protection. Pride leads to destruction. Humility leads to honor. So, after several generations of evil kings, some who were so evil, like Manasseh, that they practiced child sacrifice. I mean, my gosh. What can get more evil? We finally encounter a reformer king, Josiah, in 2 Kings. So the priest Hilkiah found an ancient scroll containing the covenant between God and Israel, right? Their covenant, their bond, their vow to God. And once Josiah understood how far they had strayed from that covenant and from God, he relentlessly cleansed the land of all idolatry, of all unfaithfulness. Then in the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul, we saw this massive mob trying to kill him, and they would have killed him in Jerusalem in our reading yesterday. We're still kind of in that scene. The mob is still present. Paul has asked for the opportunity under the guard of the Roman soldiers to speak to the mob that was trying to kill him. And so they were hushed down and they listened to Paul's account of how it was that he moved from a very zealous Pharisee being trained up in Jerusalem to a man who met Jesus on the road to Damascus. And then we also begin today our second time through the Psalms this year. And we were reminded that if we will meditate and honor the will of God and God's ways in our lives, that we will find that we are like trees planted next to a riverbank. I mean, let's take this on board. If we will honor God's will and God's ways in our lives, then we will be like trees planted next to water, a riverbank. We will not wither. instead will be fruitful and strong and prosperous. That's not going to happen by accident, though. That will happen by intention. We will have to honor God's will and His ways by living them out in our lives. And then last, a reading from Proverbs gives us some wisdom that we should never ignore. Pride or haughtiness goes before your destruction. And it leads you. Your pride will lead you to your destruction. Humility goes in front of honor. Humility will lead you into honor. That is a crossroads and a half. That is a major crossroads that we should take on board and understand. It's pride or humility that is pulling the cart here. One will lead us off the side of a cliff to our destruction. One will lead us into peaceful pasture and honor. I mean, if we want to break this down, we're talking about arrogance. The pride and arrogance, the kind of arrogance that lifts us above another, the superiority, the ability to look down upon. And all of these things come from a sense of competition, a competition that from a spiritual perspective and a biblical perspective doesn't exist. But this superiority comes when we show contempt and have no mutual respect. This pride is found in our attempts to demand or coerce someone's esteem by our own domination. And man, if we watch our heart's posture on any given day, we'll see that we are pulled into that sort of thing. And those are the kinds of weeds that can get growing in our lives that take over. But if we identify what's going on, if we become aware, self-aware, which we are attempting to do by being in community with each other and allowing the scriptures to speak into our lives, then that stuff can be seen and eradicated and pulled up, which ultimately leads us on a path that results in honor. The very thing that pride demands by force comes to us through humility. Humility before our fellow brothers and sisters is what elevates us to the place of respect and honor that pride demands. But demanding it through coercion and superiority, that makes enemies, and that leads to destruction. Man, that is a lesson. May we learn it well. Now, Holy Spirit, we invite you into that. Indeed we do. Because our pride has gotten in the way of pretty much everything. And so this path that we walk, that is a humble path, actually brings the things that we're demanding by our pride. This is key. And this is a key understanding to our humanity and our motives. So we invite your Holy Spirit to lead us to understanding, to catch us, to help us see when we move into that place of pride, or when we walk the humble path. Help us, lead us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app, these are indeed home base. very much home base. Very much where you find out what's going on around here. And so be familiar, check it out, and check out the community section. Check that out thoroughly. Record a video, record your testimony, like how it is that the Bible has made a difference in your life. And I watch every single one of those. It's so fun to see. Leave yours there. And we can all kind of greet each other, and we can heart those, and you just check it out. Check it out for sure in the community section. What else is going on around here? The Daily Audio Bible Long Walk is coming up in a few days on the 7th of July. We've been talking about it, so we should know. Like it's a day that is worth taking to go into beauty and to get quiet and to get still and to get contemplative and to unplug from the cares of this life and the marketing machine that technology can be to pull us into all kinds of places and just spend a day with the lover of our soul. The one who knows everything about us. The one who knows things about us that we don't know or that we're lying to ourselves about or that we're hiding. Go for a long walk with God and say everything that needs to be said. And don't think that God doesn't and isn't waiting for this opportunity to speak back. Take time to listen as we reset and kind of have a trajectory and get some perspective on what the second half of the year should be aimed toward. That's the long walk. Go do that. And wherever you go, take a picture, take a selfie, take a video, whatever. Come back to the Daily Audio Bible Facebook page. That's facebook.com/Daily Audio Bible. We'll have a post there for the long walk. And you can post your pictures and comment in there. And it becomes this beautiful thing. It becomes this beautiful chance for us to see each other, but also chance to look at what the day looked like around the world. So be sure to make plans for that. The 7th of July. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, man, humble gratitude. This global campfire is here because, well, we come in and we throw our logs and our twigs on it. Keep the fire burning. There's never a time. Literally, there's never a time that you push play and are alone. It's always happening. The Word of God in this community is always happening. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. It's always happening. So, if that is life-giving to you, thank you humbly for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner, or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. That's it for today. I am Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
This is Candace from Oregon. Please pray with me. Thank you, Lord, so much for Daily Audio Bible. Thank you that we can all come together in obedience to you, Lord, and pray, Lord, pray for the people who are voiceless and destitute in this world. We lift up to you people in Mozambique who've been displaced or family members killed, and many other places of unrest throughout the world. Lord, we want you to come and intervene. We want you to give wisdom to people in authority, mayors and governors and those in seats of authority, that they would hear your voice, that your kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven, even today, now, and that each one of us would be salt and light in each of our situations. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. We thank you, Lord, that you are a God who hears and answers prayer, and you want us to cry out to you about these injustices. Thank you, Lord, for how you have intervened and how you will intervene and how you are here right now. Most of us as individuals have what feels like a very small circle of influence, but nonetheless we have influence. So Lord, help us to do your bidding, to speak up for people who are voiceless. In Jesus' name.
Hey, Dabbers, it's Fearfully and Wonderfully Made from Winchester, Virginia. Just want to lift Jamie up in prayer. Jamie, I just want you to know that not every layoff in a job is a bad thing. I was laid off from my job 15 years ago, and it literally opened the doors for me to do what God called me to do, and that's to be a nurse. I had wanted to be a nurse for so many years, and I was so tied to my job that I was afraid to leave, but then God gave me no choice. He closed the door by me being laid off. And let me tell you, the severance package that was provided me the means to go to nursing school. Was able to take the time off, didn't work, never missed a mortgage, never missed a utility, and I've been in that profession for 10 years now, 11 years now, and let me tell you, it has changed my life in ways I never imagined. God is so good, so don't be afraid of this. God will lead and direct you. Dear Heavenly Father, I just ask, number one, that you would bring friends into Jamie's son's life, that he will build relationships with people that will bring him peace and comfort and friendships. And I also ask that you would give Jamie the wisdom, the courage that he needs and the strength to do these layoffs. But more importantly, that the people that are under his management, dear God, that you would provide even better jobs for them, things that they would never even have imagined that they could have accomplished, dear Lord. And I just ask that you bring peace and comfort for both of these situations. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, my delightful Dabbers. It's Asia calling from the City of Angels. And just wanted to lift up our brother Jamie, his son, and just reiterate another prayer to God. And speak into our own hearts as well. I really touched me, Jamie, because I know this is the second time you've called in, and just you saying like you're the only one he has, and you know you said that in a way where like you know you never know when your time is done on this earth and you get called to the Lord, and you just want your son to have other people in his life, friends, people that care about him. And so I just petition all of us out here, out there, and remind us like there's people all around us that are different from us, that need us, that are differently able, that I have a good friend with autism and I see the struggles he goes through, and he is one of my closest friends. I so enjoy our time together. I so enjoy how God made him. And I just really appreciate having him as a friend. And so I just encourage us, if you've never befriended somebody that might be different than you or have different mind thoughts and actions and feelings and wired differently, like I really recommend it. It's not about us changing anyone. It's about enriching our own life with different people in it and enriching their life too. So Heavenly Father, I just come before you, Lord. We love you so much, God. You are so high and holy and set apart. We praise your holy name, Lord. We thank you that you've made us so many different ways, Lord. And yet we know that people are ostracized because they're not like everyone else. And we're all different, Lord. So we just pray that you would hear Jamie's pleas and prayer requests and our prayer requests and bring some people in his life that could befriend his son and be there for his son and be a friend to his son. We ask and pray this in the beautiful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Hi, Dab family. This is Emily turning her eyes upon Jesus in Virginia. And I have a huge praise report. Last year, some of you had been praying for me. I had major spinal surgery back in May and then complications with spinal fluid leaks for 8 months, and which was miserable. So much bed rest. And this year, however, 2026 has been amazing, and God has healed me of my spinal fluid leaks. I've been cleared for physical therapy. I graduated in physical therapy, getting stronger every day. My walker that I had been using for a year and a half is now in the garage collecting dust, and I am just so thankful for God's restoration and healing, which has only been possible through him. And I wanted to say an encouragement to those who are going through physical suffering or emotional suffering, who are struggling to hope. And I wanted to remind you that God will strengthen the feeble hands. He will steady the knees that give way. He will say to those with fearful hearts, be strong and do not fear. God will come. That's in Isaiah 35. And he will come, and there is hope. Thank you, Dab family, for your prayers. Thank you for cheering me on and celebrating with me. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. It's Christy in Kentucky. Father, we love you and we praise you and we thank you for this most beautiful day. Father, today I am praying for Kristen, aka Christ in Me. She told us that her eyesight went blurry and that she had numbness in her face, which it does indicate stroke symptoms. And she was so wise to go right to the hospital. The CT scan came back good. Praise you, Jesus. And Father, we pray that the MRI came back as well. And we pray that she is home, Father God, touched and healed by your precious hand. Lord, we pray for Saved by Grace and her two children, Father. One a prodigal that she hasn't seen since 2012. Father, please bring this child home. We pray for salvation for both the prodigal child and her other daughter, Lord. They both need you desperately. Father, we also come to you and lift up Jamie, our wonderful prayer warrior, such a man of God that prays for everyone so consistently. So, Father, we ask that you be with him, Lord Jesus. Today is the 1st of July, and he has to speak to 9 people that will lose their positions today. And Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit will speak through Jamie, Lord, giving him that grace and extending the peace of Christ to each of these members of this office, Father God. Please, Father, we ask for protection for Jamie, that none will take this out on him, because they will understand that it is not coming from him. The decision is not coming from him, that he has just been to handed down this most difficult task. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that they find a lot of opportunities to open up for them. Father, we pray for his son. We pray for him to have friends, Lord, asking you to surround him, Lord Jesus, with your angels and send physical angels to be with him.
Hi, this is Cowgirl from Canada, and I just heard again about Juanita calling in and praying for me. And I just thank you for your encouragement again. And I just want to give you an update. I asked you to pray for Kayla, my daughter, who broke her talus bone playing flag football. Had to have an operation. I was on her way to Toronto for a 1-year anniversary with her husband, going to a concert, and they did well there. She's come back to a not so great work situation and is having some difficulties there. So I just asked you to pray for that situation, that she's been very brave in standing up for what's right. So I just pray that that might end in growing experience for her, and that she might find the right job that God wants her to have, and her and her husband are following after you, and that you might give them a ministry to other people, bring them to a place of just that peace and understanding who they are in you, and just building their relationship in this first year onward. So thank you for that. And also, like I mentioned previously, that I broke my leg, my left knee. My horse kicked me in an unpleasant situation. He was really scared. He's a very good horse, but that's been like 9.5 months of recovery, and I just re-injured it with another harder ride than I should have gone on because my horse wasn't cooperating, other horse. So just pray that my knee will continue to heal, and I'm still wearing my brace now, and I want to be taking each step forward in step with God and our 6 children, 4 grandchildren, and we have 2 of our children are married and a 3rd getting married in September. So just pray for us as we want to serve God, our family.
Thank you.